to sit down and talk about, like, oh, who are these people actually? What are the different cultures that make up this huge community? And what are the different stories that exist within them? You know, Dia de los Muertos is only a tiny subset of, you know, not only the, you know, of the Mexican community, but even within that, it's very, you know, unique. And so just recognizing that there are these different communities and normalizing our presence and our stories. You know, sometimes when it's asked, you know, oh, can you come and be part of this art project? You're expected to talk on immigration. You're expected to talk on all these issues, which are important and we are talking about. But sometimes, you know, I just want to sit there and talk about what does it mean when I was a girl going away to college for the first time. And that comes with its own experiences being Latina. And, you know, what does it mean to build up a restaurant, you know, somewhere in Portland when you're like part of the Latinx community? And, you know, going away from just being viewed as street food to actually being recognized as appropriate cuisine. I think it's little things like that, seeing the people for who they are in our community and not just the issues they represent as a whole.
Good for you and congrats on this film, and I'm looking forward to seeing it. So I'll have all those details at stageandstudio.org and kbu.fm/stageandstudio. Yasmin Ruvalcaba, thank you for taking the time today.
Thank you.
Till next time, I'm Dimay Roberts. We're going out with music by another Latinx artist I recently featured on Stage and Studio, Gerardo Calderon, and you can hear his music at bandcamp.com.
You're listening to an archival KBOO radio show from the tape vaults. Times, dates, and events heard on this recording are no longer relevant or have already occurred in the past.
Andy, whoa, whoa, looks a scream. And him on my whoa, 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 whoa. Andy, whoa, whoa, silver stream. Can't tell them apart at all.
My name's Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is painter Michelle Ross. Her commission, The Turn of a Shape, Dawn, Dusk, Midday, Midnight, has recently been unveiled at the Standard Building in downtown Portland at 900 Southwest 5th Avenue. Thanks very much for doing Art Focus, Michelle.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
And we're also joined by Daniel Peabody, the director of the Elizabeth Leach Gallery, who is Michelle's gallery in Portland. Thanks for coming too, Daniel.
My pleasure. Thanks for having us.
I should tell the listeners you're zooming in from Yucca Valley in California, where you're on a residency. But this work is four big paintings that were commissioned by the Standard Insurance Company when they remodeled their building. And so they wanted art and they came to you. So just tell us this, The Turn of a Shape, where did that idea come from?
Interestingly, I didn't actually conceive of the title until quite near the end of the project. But I knew when I said yes to the project, I knew it would be four paintings. I knew the size that they would be. They were made for the space in consultation with the architect and a team of folks from the Standard Insurance Company. And so I knew the scale, I knew the aspect ratio, and I knew there needed to be four of them. And so I was looking for a way to think about people moving through the space and experiencing the paintings in a way that had some kind of a cycle to it or some kind of a flow. And so, and I didn't want to do the four seasons.
I think it's been done.
So I landed on four times a day. And so what that enabled me to do, it was structure how I thought about the palette and how I thought about the light in the paintings. And of course, they're abstract paintings, so there's nothing literal about, I'm not depicting anything specific, but I was setting out to capture something about a sort of emotional quality and also an atmospheric quality of those times of day, and maybe even point to kind of an energy around those times of day. So I worked from the four times of day, and then the idea of the turn of a shape came to me.
You know, it's interesting, Michelle, because the project started off with Linda Tesner, an art consultant and advisor, came to the gallery and asked for images of your work and a few other artists' work, and took those to a presentation with GBD Architects and the Standard Insurance Committee, and they ended up selecting your work for the commission. And then the next step was actually studies. And so Michelle did an incredible series of paintings on paper as studies to start working in the kind of aspect ratio they were asking for, which is 16 feet high by 7 feet wide. All four paintings are that size. And you know, through that process that we kind of came at the composition and the color palette and all of that. And then Michelle brought to it the times of day as the starting point.
Was there any discussion about, you know, whether you could do what you wanted? Did you submit something and they were like, no?
I mean, surprisingly, not. There were a few sort of palette choices that they steered me away from gently, but I was sort of bracing myself for a more sort of rough process of, you know, we don't like this, and I had spent like all this time on it. So I mean, that really didn't happen, and they, I think, really trusted my vision after they saw the first round of smaller studies. I bumped up to then a medium size on paper, and they, you know, I think they were a little concerned about anything too soft and pastel like but in the end, I think Dawn turned out to be quite gentle, and I mean, there's a lot of neutrals sort of in the work that's sort of mediating anything that might be too pink or, you know,
right,
but that was really it.
Well, that's one of the things that really interested me was the palette. So if the viewer comes in off Fifth Avenue, as you're coming in, the one on the right behind the security guard is kind of where you begin. That's Dawn. Right. And the shapes are, there's a very large light blue, I don't know, what, kind of 6 or 7-sided figure right behind the security guard. And then there are other light blue triangles, and then there's a sort of haze of light blue at the top, and these diagonal dark lines that cut through a kind of mossy green. I mean, you don't often see light blue and green together. What was this, as Dawn, what was going through your mind when you were using so much light blue?
Well, quite functionally, I also had a carpet sample and a sample of the paneling that was going to be in the space. So I was somewhat using the blues, all of the blues. There's many different kinds of blues. I was responding in part to, you know, thinking about the carpet that was going to be down. But having said that, I think of Dawn as a soft, sort of illuminated, cool kind of light, and especially in Oregon. And so it's a very different kind of Dawn here in the desert, let me tell you. Those are way more like fluorescent, the sunrises. But in Oregon, you know, where I've lived most of my life, that's actually kind of a sensation and an atmosphere that I experience in the early parts of the day, especially around when the sun is rising. It's very, yeah, cool and soft and neutral and gray, but there's a bluishness to it in my mind.
Mm-hmm. We all experience Dawn as a kind of light show, you know, a light event. Whereas maybe we don't think of that when we think of midday. But you also have a lot of, you know, shapes in this piece, as in all of them, and a lot of very strong diagonal lines cutting through, you know, rectangles and squares. There's no kind of one set angle. You're using a lot of different angles. And then, again, there's the whole surface of the paint, which is many different kind of layers and types of application. Tell us about the shapes you chose for Dawn.
Well, I mean, I think with all four paintings, the method of arriving at the shapes is really similar. And what the process is laying down a lot of sort of atmospheric ground, letting the material, the liquidity of the water-based paint in the first stages move around and kind of create this sort of atmospheric chaos. And so then the geometry comes in as a way to sort of stabilize or structure that atmosphere. And it's not, again, a literal representation of anything other than like balancing that sort of softness and color and atmosphere with something more structural. And there's also, anytime you use diagonals, you're setting up a kind of pictorial pathways, ways to kind of move into the pictorial space. And so I was interested in that. You know, I think about this set of shapes as a sort of construction or deconstruction, like a form in the process of coming together in ways that are unpredictable, or a form that's maybe coming apart and reforming. There's no real stability of form, and yet at the same time, I feel like the paintings are structured. So it allows me to structure them.
Mm-hmm. You know, if I can add to that,
Daniel.
The committee, one of the things that drew the committee to Michelle's work was the architectural elements the abstract forms that felt architectural. And GBD Architects designed the new lobby in a way that is quite spare, but quite geometric. There's strong vertical lines, the wooden paneling, and they're very architectural, angular light fixtures and things. And they were really actually drawn to some of the architectural shapes, like one of the, I don't want to jump ahead here, but Midnight has a very strong like pyramid type shape kind of depicted in one passage of it. That kind of angular lines, diagonals were things that the committee was drawn to in Michelle's work. And that feedback at the very beginning of the process was looking at past work and selecting elements and things of past work that they liked. And so that was kind of part of the brief, if you will. I mean, Michelle did it beautifully in this case as well as in the past, but that was part of what led to the commission.
Mm-hmm. So, Michelle, if we turn 90 degrees, and I think we're looking north at dusk. The second one in this sequence is dusk, right?
Correct.
So the base, the lower part of the painting is a lot of black and dark blue with kind of white inserts, but these parallelograms and these figures are kind of piled up. I don't know, you could say like broken glass or like puzzle pieces. They're kind of stacking up. The middle is actually lighter than the bottom or the top, but there's no kind of gradation. What? Just tell us why this arrangement of colors and shapes made you think of dusk, and would the viewer think of dusk?
Well, I don't know if the viewer will think of, I doubt the viewer will think of dusk until they go over and look at the title. I mean, honestly, and that doesn't matter to me so much. I mean, I guess what I was thinking of, again, in terms of the color and the light, was more about sort of light draining, like extreme contrast that can happen with the shadows at dusk and sort of light draining out. There's actually no black. It's a lot of really deep greens and like Prussian blues and like sap greens and viridians. And there's also, I don't know if you noticed that when you were there, but there's also the use of a lot of silver paint.
Oh, yeah. That was my favorite part, was when you look up, when you get close and look up to the white mark at the top, it's reflective, it's silver spray paint, right?
Well, it's not spray. There's actually a silver oil-based paint, oil paint made by Gamblin that I was using.
Was it with a brush?
Well, it depends on what there's. I mean, I was using an industrial paint sprayer for some of the initial stages, and then I sprayed on some silver water-based paint with that. But then there's some oil paint that goes on when I'm doing more of the controlled lines. That's silver. But the idea with dusk and the four times a day is really just a kind of a loose way to think about how I experienced that light and the feeling, even emotionally. Like, it's a little bit moody, this painting. And dusk, for me, another word for dusk is the gloaming. And it's a kind of European term, you know, used to kind of signal that intense, you know, feeling around dusk. It's beyond it's past the golden hour, and it's like when the light is kind of almost gone. And so that's how I was thinking about this painting, is more of a kind of moody moment.
Mm-hmm.
complicated moody moment.
My name is Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Michelle Ross and also Daniel Peabody. Michelle and Daniel are talking about her works. The commission is called The Turn of a Shape, Dawn, Dusk, Midday, Midnight. And it's on view to the public in the lobby of the Standard Building at 900 Southwest 5th Avenue. So if we turn another 90 degrees and cross the lobby to the other side of the building, is it the same kind of light coming in the windows on that side?
No, it's actually really different. There's a lot more ambient natural light from those windows on the backside on the 4th Street.
Mm-hmm.
On 4th Street.
When you say ambient, does that mean less light than on the other side?
No, I mean just like a lot of daylight, a lot of whatever the light is outside coming into the building.
Mm-hmm.
I think architecturally the buildings on the 4th Street side are lower, and so it faces east, so it gets a lot of morning sun and sun throughout the day. And then the paintings in the lobby on the other side of the lobby, the lobby faces west, and I believe there's a large, I recall correctly, maybe parking structure across the street or another large building, and so it gets a lot less natural light coming in the west windows.
You know, all of these paintings, they're painting on wooden board, right? And they seem to be in threes.
Yes, yeah.
And did you paint them on the floor?
Yeah, so that's a great thing to talk about. So each panel, so you can see the section. So I had to navigate like how to unify and connect those three panels. So each panel was 7 feet wide by about 5 1/3 inches. So I knew that they had to like link up and all be a complete composition. And so that's why the practice on the paper studies was really important, because I figured out how to do that on the paper studies. And these, in my studio, there was no space to like stack them all up in my, it's 16 feet high. I don't have a 16 foot high wall in my studio.
I was going to say, you'd have to paint with a scissor lift, right?
Well, we had to install them with a scissor lift.
So you put them on the floor.
So my solution was each individual panel could be up against the wall in my studio. So I had two paintings going at one time. One was usually laid out on the floor with enough space for me to walk in between. And then the other three were like disconnected, but lined up around the studio. So I had two going at a time so I could see, you know, what their relationship was going to be. And I also, as soon as I finished the first one, I had it photographed and printed out at a pretty large scale so I could pin that up on my wall and see what I had done and not forget what I had done.
Oh, yeah.
As soon as it got done, it had to get out of the studio because of the size.
How big was the print you made?
The print I made was about 9 by 27 or something like that, inches.
Wow. What kind of printer did you use?
Oh, I just sent it into, I teach at PNCA, I just sent it into their print shop and they just printed it out for me. And then the woman that I use as a photographer, she has a printer, so she printed it out.
Okay. So that helped you keep track of all four. Yeah. Was there a constant process of comparison between the four in your head?
Like I wanted it to go from the lightest sensation from dawn to the darkest sensation to midnight. And this one midday that you were talking about that I'm actually looking at on my screen is kind of a sort of full on thinking about noon, thinking about, you know, the most color, the most light. And then midnight is like the darkest one. Mm-hmm. So,
right. What one thing I loved about these paintings is they, because the way you use triangles, often lines have a contrasting color either on one side of them. I thought they were three-dimensional works. They were like bas relief, and then I would go up to them and they're just like flat as a pancake.
Yeah.
It's great because it makes you want to go right up to the work. Yeah. Whereas in a lobby, you're kind of encouraged to keep moving. But
yeah.
I imagine people are going to stick around.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because I employ those really basic formal, you know, elements and principles. And I taught design for years. And it's like, you start, like I said earlier, you start putting triangles and geometry down and it almost doesn't, like, it's going to add up to strange form and space. It's going to add up to that. And so I was even surprised once they got up, because think about it, this was the first time I had seen them vertically too when they were installed. And I was even like, whoa, that's really coming out at me. Like, I couldn't tell it was going to do on the floor. So that was fun.
Mm-hmm. You have so many different ways of applying paint and chalk and everything. I mean, there are some kind of seams between panels or just between images that look like tape, and some look like stenciled on paint. And then you also take a sheet of linen, you know, it looks like untouched canvas, and you glue it on. You know, when do you know when to change texture?
Yeah, well, so the process is actually pretty methodical. The very first thing I do with glue I decided on those linen shapes right off the bat. They were the first thing that went down, and then I had to respond to those. And so they kind of go down I hate to use the word randomly, but like I had a system of like, okay, each panel is going to get two linen shapes, and I put them down. Then the water-based paint got sprayed on, and then, yes, you're right, there's some stenciling that goes on, but there's a lot of pouring, a lot of stuff that I can't necessarily control at first, and then it's kind of a process of honing it and refining it so that, again, it resolves and it coheres, but at the same time, it doesn't over-cohere because I'm interested in the sort of lack of staticness or like the activeness of it. So I don't want it to become, you know, overly resolved at the same time. Yeah, so I'm at the later stages, I'm like, that's what I'm usually brushing paint on with large brushes or making the lines. And I actually am using tape in sort of the mid part of the process. I'll literally lay tape down or measuring tape to see if I want a line intersecting in this particular way, and those I can remove, obviously, so I can think about where the divisions are going to be, how the shapes are going to come into form.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, having had the opportunity to visit Michelle's studio and see watching her work, I didn't do that much with this process because of, you know, the pandemic. However, you know, in the past, I've seen her work, and it's interesting when you go in and Michelle's working on a large painting, she'll be partway through the painting, but there'll also be all these collaged elements on it that aren't necessarily adhered down, but temporarily collaged. Mm. She'll try out bits of color and bits of line and different things, and it's a very improvisational process. From my perception, and Michelle can speak to whether this is true, but from looking, it looks to me like, having watched her paint and work through her process, it's very improvisational, and she's trying different things and responding to different things, and color, texture, pattern, form, shape, and, you know, that's interesting. So I think, Michelle, you're kind of we're speaking to that, but, you know, I've come in and seen a swatch of like bright pink pasted over something, and of course then maybe later when I see the finished painting that isn't there. Mm-hmm. But it shows up as a line, or it shows up as a small gesture.
That's right, and improvisation is a really good word, and I don't tend to think about it, but it's absolutely the case. And it's kind of a dance between my desire for structure and precision, and then also my desire for kind of dancing in the chaos. So improvisation.
So just to finish off, Midnight is the final one, the darkest one. It does have a bit of pink up the top, and it has a lot of drips going sideways, so you must have turned your panels around at some point. Was this the last one you did?
Actually, it was the first one I did, and Dawn and Dusk were the last two, or no, Dawn and Midday were the last ones. But this, with the panels on the floor, I can lift them up and prop them up and pour, you know, put a pool of color down and sort of manipulate where it goes and where it flows. And so there's a lot of that going on. And Midnight, I tend to be a night owl. If in my younger years especially, I would work in the studio well past midnight. And so this one's actually really active. Most sensible people are asleep by midnight. Mm-hmm. But this one's got a lot going on. And I think I kind of, you know, I'm less active at dawn, so I think that one's the quieter one.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of contrast, a lot of sort of dark activity going on in this one.
Mm-hmm. I like there's a security camera right next to it, watching the painting. I mean, you're a painter, but you're now in Yucca Valley doing a course in how to make glass. You know, like glass imagery?
Well, it's a great opportunity for me to experiment with translating some of this my painting vocabulary into glass. And it's a residency that, again, was sponsored by the Ford Family Foundation. As a Ford Fellow, they gave us the opportunity to come down and work with Heidi Schwegler at Yucca Valley Material Lab. And so I'm thrilled to be down here. I've got a kiln load. As soon as we get off this Zoom, I'm going to go look and see how things turned out. But it's really a very collage-based piecing, you know, structure, chaos, the flow of the glass, like the unpredictability of it, and yet also the potential to control it by cutting and piecing and structuring. So in some ways, it's kind of a natural thing, but it's also really difficult. It's really, there's just a lot of unpredictability. And because I don't know anything about glass, there's quite a learning curve.
Can any artist who's listening, can they apply?
Yes, there is I hope we can link her website to KBOO, and then folks can go in, and there's information on the website about applying to the res. And there's also courses that are being taught, of course, a little bit stalled out with COVID, but there's glass casting courses. There's like a range of programming that they are really going to hopefully get up and running if we can get through this, you know, socially distanced moment. So yeah,
a good thing to like change media completely.
Absolutely. And there's another artist working here with me, so I'm getting to know her and her work, and then other artists come in and consult. So it's as much out in the middle of nowhere as it is, it's really an active community, and folks are and coming in and out, so it's great.
And you're also working on a painting show to be held at Elizabeth Leach in February.
Yes, I'm excited about that. I have more panels that are the individual size, the 7-foot by 5-foot. I've got a selection of those that were kind of test drive panels. And so they're underway, and I'm excited to, reveal those in February.
We're excited for it too. It's been very fun, this year-long commission process, watching Michelle work the largest she's ever worked. I think the individual panels, you know, as you said earlier, the large 16-by-7-foot paintings are made up of three panels. And I think the largest painting Michelle had ever really made previously was about the size of those individual panels. So it's been very exciting to watch Michelle work at a scale she's never worked before and master it quite beautifully. And now I'm very curious to see how she scales back down to the individual panel size. So that'll be very exciting, and we'll have that in our show in February.
My name is Joseph Gallivan. You've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guests this week were the painter Michelle Ross and Daniel Peabody, the director of the Elizabeth Leach Gallery. Michelle was talking about her commission, The Turn of a Shape, Dawn, Dusk, Midday, Midnight, on view now to the public at the Standard Insurance Building at 900 Southwest 5th Avenue in downtown Portland. Thank you so much for both doing Art Focus, Michelle and Daniel.
You're welcome. Great to be here.
Thanks for having us.
Hi, I'm Joseph Gallivan, the host of Art Focus. I'm asking you to help support us with our fall fundraising goal. We're trying to raise $60,000. Have you got any extra funds you can donate right now? Then go to kboo.fm and click on the donate button. Join the thousands of KBOO members who believe in volunteer-powered, listener-supported community radio today.
Cement picks, biggest standing cinema. Dress my friends up just for show, see them as they really are. But the people in my brain, too new pens to have a go. I'd like to be a gallery, put you all inside my show. Andy, whoa, whoa, looks a scream. Hang him on my wall.
Andy walking, Andy tired, Andy take a little snooze. Tie him up when he fast asleep, send him on a pleasant cruise. When you wake up on the sea, be sure to think of me and you. To think about paint and to think about glue, what a jolly boring thing to do. Andy, whoa, whoa, let's just scream, hang him on my wall. Andy, whoa, whoa, silver screen, can't tell them apart at all. Andy, whoa, whoa, let's just scream, hang him on my wall. Andy, whoa, whoa, silver screen, can't tell them apart at all.
Portland.
Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.7 FM. Hoy martes 27 de octubre del 2020. En Alemania.